I'm Janet Williams, and I'm Senior Program Manager with the American Medical Association, and I'm leading our efforts on diabetes prevention, specifically community clinical linkage, and getting physicians to screen more. So I want to thank you again for the opportunity, and I also want to acknowledge, I was going to say my co-workers, but I have one, so I want to acknowledge Katie Hennigan in the back, who has come here today. And works with me on these efforts. And I want to thank all of you for coming. It wasn't easy to find this room, and so I appreciate that you're all here. And just real quick, because we are a small group, and I'm always curious to see who's in the room. Now, we've all introduced ourselves, but if starting to my left in the front row, if you can just say who you are, who you're with, and what you do, that'd be great. You know, just your title. Yep. God, I scared them now that we're introducing ourselves. All right. I want to start back and work forward. Okay, and you're with Christiana, did you say? DuPont. Oh, okay, because I'm working in Delaware on our project, so. Well, we got a nice wide variety, community clinical researchers. The GIS guy is very popular since we're doing so much GIS now, so we'll come back and bother you later. So my purpose this morning is to talk about the AMA's commitment to preventing diabetes and how we're partnering with the AMA Foundation to reach those most vulnerable populations. So, and just real quickly, we're gonna talk about those health consequences, recognize the need to address pre-diabetes. Is anybody here familiar with pre-diabetes and that term? Oh, good. Then I'll slough over that really quick as I break the microphone. And really talk about our free clinic initiative, which I'm really excited about because up till now I've been working probably in middle communities and through the standard, you know, health system. So I've been really excited to do this project. So just really quickly, let's do diabetes by the numbers. I think, as everybody knows, it's reaching epidemic proportions. And it's estimated that, so of the total population, it's still estimated that there's 7 million who have diabetes who haven't even been diagnosed. So we have a lot of work to do in diabetes, but certainly looking at pre-diabetes is a way we also need to go. So what's interesting here to me, and you can join me if you feel that way, but looking at the lifetime risk of diabetes, and so, you know, there's several risk factors for diabetes. One of them is BMI over 24, family history, gestational diabetes, history of gestational diabetes, as well as, I know I'm leaving one out, age. Is a risk factor. But so if you just looked at BMI, and so what's interesting to me is the numbers really don't change that it across ethnicity or race, right? That the higher that BMI, the greater your lifetime risk of developing diabetes. So it kind of gives us an opportunity in terms of we're always concerned about reaching disparities. We're concerned about being culturally sensitive. And certainly in your messaging, and how you relay that. But at least in terms of a risk factor, it's the same. So it kind of eliminates one of those barriers to communication and really getting out to those populations. But the minority, low socioeconomic, they suffer more from the health consequences associated with diabetes. And specifically, African Americans suffer more from the health consequences. There's more lower limb amputations, more diabetic neuropathy. They experience kidney failure 4 times more than white Americans, and they have a 40 to 50% chance of that higher risk of developing diabetic neuropathy. And Hispanic Americans, they have higher rates of retinopathy and kidney disease. And patients of lower socioeconomic status are less likely to be have diabetic services recommended. So there's people with diabetes usually get routine eye exams, foot exams, and looking at cuts, things that put them at higher risk for these health consequences. And people lower socioeconomic are less likely to get that and consequently more likely to be hospitalized because of these complications. So it's if we get into pre-diabetes, so what does this mean? So if we have 29 million Americans who have diabetes, there's 86 million who have pre-diabetes. And 90% of them don't even know they have it. So if we can look a little bit more upstream, right, if there was a magic wand that we could wave over and get people with pre-diabetes to prevent diabetes, so treat their pre-diabetes, get them in a non-pre-diabetes state, we would really be contributing a lot to protecting the health of the nation. And that's where we were looking. So the AMA strategic focus, does this look as light to you as it does to me? Oh, no, good. So the AMA, we were concerned, certainly, about the health care and the effect of chronic diseases. I mean, 76% of all visits to a primary care physician are for treatment and management of chronic disease. So we're not only burdening the healthcare system with what's going on with diabetes, but we're really putting physicians in a situation where they're just doing acute care and really don't have the skills or the time to look at prevention, even though prevention is key and treatable in the case of diabetes. So we decided to really look at some of these healthcare drivers, and we're looking at heart disease, cardiovascular disease, stroke, and diabetes. And specifically looking at the major risk factors, which is high blood pressure and high blood glucose or sugar. And looking at those, then we were looking at, for blood pressure, looking at patients who know they have hypertension, but it's not in control. So helping get hypertension in control. And on the diabetes side, looking at preventing diabetes by focusing on prediabetes, getting more physicians and their care teams educated about prediabetes, and working to screen their patients appropriately, test them, and then refer them to an evidence-based program. So you know, what can we do, right? We've got this major health crisis. We have prediabetes, 86 million Americans. How can we reach them all? And we know that people in lower socioeconomic and minority are suffering greatly from diabetes. So we can do plenty. We're very fortunate there's an evidence-based program called the Diabetes Prevention Program, and it's proven to work in the community setting. So that's pretty exciting. The AMA Foundation, their mission is to advance, and I have to read it because I don't work for the foundation, to advance public health and medical scholarship through philanthropic support of physician-directed initiatives. So millions of Americans need health care every day, and the only safety net they have are free clinics. And compared to insured adults, the uninsured have a 25% greater risk of premature death, and in general, their medical costs are higher due to a lack of access. So even with the Affordable Care Act, it's estimated there's going to be 30 million Americans who will remain without health insurance. So these free and charitable clinics play a key role in disease management and disease prevention. So responding to that critical need, the AMA Foundation supports the efforts of physicians and volunteers through physician-led free clinics. And so the Healthy Communities Healthy America grants, they give out small grants between $10,000 and $25,000 to help build capacity around lifestyle intervention and management. And this is, 2014 is their seventh cycle, and this year they're funding 8 clinics for the next 2 years to implement the lifestyle change program or the diabetes prevention program. Right now, most of their prevention activities have been very directed on community gardens, and certainly those are evidence-based, but not necessarily support group, but some of the environmental approaches. And I think that, as we know, for those of us who have worked on tobacco, you have to do both. You have to do an environmental approach, we're looking at the hot spots, as well as individual care, as we're looking at with the breast cancer project. So what's good for me is that the AMA Foundation aligns really well with what the AMA is trying to accomplish in preventing diabetes and getting at vulnerable populations. The work I'm doing now, while we certainly are addressing minority populations, because we're working in Delaware, Indianapolis, parts of Florida, Texas, in Dallas and Arlington and Fort Worth, we really weren't looking at low socioeconomic, and our team was really interested in looking at those at the greatest risk. So when the foundation came along and said, you know, we have this grant project, which I can tell you I've been at the AMA 12 years, we've never worked with them on this project other than I've reviewed grant applications. So they said, what can we do to align with the AMA? And we said, well, we'd like them to all do the evidence-based program, to offer the DPP program. So they were pretty excited about that as well. So the goals of the initiative are to build this capacity, and increase the education, and really look at can they, because one thing, my objective was that, is does the program look any different, but also are you reaching people in an area they already feel comfortable with? It's funny that in Colorado, Kaiser is offering the diabetes prevention program, but they found that people didn't have a sense of community with Kaiser. So they subcontracted with a community organization to be the provider, and Kaiser doesn't usually go outside their own system. And we thought that might be, but with the free clinics, because they're the safety net, many of these patients, and certainly the chronic disease patients, feel that is their community. So they don't necessarily always see it as a medical facility, but someplace for their families to be well. And so we thought it would be an excellent environment to offer the diabetes prevention program. So it's kind of a combination of being a community setting, but also being medical. So this was the criteria for free and charitable clinics that they could even apply for the program. And we looked at, so when we selected them, we looked at their business plan, their business model, how they were using their volunteers. These eight clinics, I would say, are probably 70% to 80% volunteer staffed. They only have a few paid staff, and so how are you going to leverage your staff to do this pretty intensive diabetes prevention program? How are they going to spend the money? We're only giving them $10,000 for 2 years. I think those of us who work in the community know that these stipends do a lot. That, you know, I worked with a lot of church projects on smoke-free Illinois. We were giving out, I think, $2,500 grants and probably got over 50 applications. So while $10,000 is small, in those of us who have to do large system fundraising, it really does go a long way for these free clinics. So we looked at their budget, the resources, and certainly how they were going to overcome some barriers and opportunities and how they're going to reach out to stakeholders. So, you know, what do we want them to do, right? So we want them to do the diabetes prevention program. Who's not familiar with the diabetes prevention program? Okay, about half. Wait, small room, so I can do that number. So the diabetes prevention program is, as it says here, it's behavior modification. And it's based on a support group. They usually, right now the YMCA is probably the largest provider of the diabetes prevention program. CDC coordinates the curriculum and has a recognition program. So part of what we were requesting for these clinics is not only do we want you to be trained to be a diabetes prevention program provider, but you have to go for CDC recognition, because it's basically one way that we can really do surveillance because you have to submit data every 6 months to the CDC. But it's based on small goals. We know that small steps in lifestyle intervention actually make a big difference, and in this case, it really makes a big difference. So they're just asking 5% to 7% weight loss is what supports the research, which I'll get to in a minute, and increasing your physical activity to 150 minutes or more during the week, which is the physical activity guidelines. But it's coming at it from a standpoint, not you have to go on a diet and you got to move more. But it's really, you know, for all the behavior mod that's there, right? It's looking at what is your motivation. It's getting peer support. So it's stuff that we've known along. It is intensive, right? It's a year-long program. It's 16 weekly sessions followed by monthly core sessions. But it's amazing. So, but we're, the evidence is there. I mean, this, the first, the National Diabetes Prevention Program was part of a study done almost 15 years ago. And it, the results were that it removed the risk of developing diabetes in adults 18 to 60 by 58%. And in older adults, 71%. It reduced their risk. So 60 and older. I mean, that's amazing, because I assumed when I came into this, and I used to work with older adults, I was community outreach for a bank, and, you know, and talking about access, right, travel. They're not going to come for a weekly program. But it's all about the peer support and the coaching, and they actually, older adults tend to actually do more sessions, and the a complete is actually considered only 4 sessions. And you see the results after 9. The average for older adults to attend this is 12. So they're going longer and having these greater results. And let's all say hi to Kendall. Hi, Kendall. That's my other coworker. He's a senior program manager working with me on expansion and spread and coverage. So we have a small group. We're all friends here, Kendall. So but this was delivered one-on-one in the doctor's office, right? Great results, but really expensive. So, when you looked at this from the success, and again, the across the board, the results were the same, regardless of race and ethnicity. So metformin is the drug that is typically used for people with prediabetes. And prediabetes is if you have an A1C of 5.7 to 6.4%. And I think a fasting glucose, you'd think I'd have that memorized, of 100 to 125. But across the board, so metformin, which was the medication, doctors love giving pills, was not outperformed. And the lifestyle intervention was uniformly successful in the lower cases of prediabetes. So this program, it's really been well studied. And I'm just going to go through it sort of briefly. The first one was that an investigation of the contribution of changes in weight, diet, and physical activity on the risk that found that weight loss is the primary predictor of reducing your diabetes risk. And from the study, we know it's 5 to 7%. It's a doable weight loss for most people. Herman and his colleagues estimated the progression. They were looking at disease cost and quality of life. And they found that participation in the DPP is estimated to delay the development of type 2 by 11 years and reduce the lifetime risk by 20%. So that was in their small trial. In a randomized trial by Ann Albright at the CDC and her colleagues, they also found that that this program can be delivered cost-effectively in the community, and it would prevent or delay type 2, as we saw in the one-on-one in physician's office. And then the DEPLOY study is the one that really looked at how it could be translated in the community setting. So the DEPLOY study was the first study that looked at, after the national DPP, can you take it from a doctor's office, offer it the community setting by peer support educators, not necessarily medical professionals, and get the same results. And you can. So we've got this evidence-based program that we know works over race and ethnicity. And so it's a matter of how do you get it to that population, how do you get it delivered. This is a map of the current diabetes prevention programs that the CDC has on its recognition site. You'd see a lot of holes. And some of those holes are in the areas where our clinics are. And we certainly know that we got 86 million. As I said, I'm mathematically challenged, but, you know, 586 million. I think we need to have some more providers. So this free clinic is giving us another opportunity in models. Right now I'm working a lot with large health systems, but I think this really is an amazing opportunity. So currently what we've been doing is partnering with the YMCA. They have a CMMI award. So I've been working in 17 markets. So we've developed tools. The Y certainly has their programs in English, Spanish, Hmong, and Somalia. They have coaches that are peer and from the community. So we've been working with them on looking at systems of screening, testing, and referring. So we actually have a good toolkit. So for the clinics, we came in with where they could hit the ground running, where we knew we had the evidence. We knew we had the tools to help them screen their patients. And this is just a sample of what's in our toolkit. We have, you know, patient posters. This was for our older adult population, which is why the poster says 20 million rather than 86 million. 20 million older adults have prediabetes. And we said, and you could be one of them. Buttons, we think anything. So if you're doing any community work, if everybody in your system and everybody that you're working with sort of all has the same messaging, so we have asked me about prediabetes buttons all over the place. And then we have a simple algorithm we're calling our map. So basically it would sit in a high traffic area, the nursing station, the offices, so everybody would know who's responsible for what in this process. So we're trying to make it as easy as possible for large systems who have a lot of resources, but also we think these tools are going to help these very stretched free clinics. And that's what certainly the AMA can offer, because we weren't funding this. It was funded from a grant from Blue Cross Blue Shield. And actually the CEO of the AMA was so committed to this work that he threw in some matching dollars of his own. So we thought that was a strong commitment. So the timeline here, we just released the RFP in August. We selected the clinics about a little less than a month ago. They're going to go through the training. So Emory University has developed the master curriculum training. So we have trainers coming to the AMA. Thank you. And ultimately what they're going to start enrolling in February and get people enrolled in the program and go for CDC recognition. So I don't have these memorized, so I apologize again. So the clinics are, drumroll please, Athens Nurses Clinic in Atlanta, Georgia, Center for Pharmacy Care in Pittsburgh, CHIPS Health and Wellness Center in St. Louis. See, I had to be with you ladies, right? Free Medical Clinic of Oak Ridge in Tennessee, Lloyd Moss Free Clinic in Fredericksburg, Virginia, Oldham County Ministerial Association doing business as Hope Health and Wellness in Kentucky, Wheeling Health Right, also in West Virginia, and Will Grundy Medical Clinic in Illinois. And what I think they said 100%, in some cases said 200% of the population in there is below the poverty level. So we know we have the low socioeconomic. The race and ethnicity is still in many of these cases predominantly low-income whites, but we do have the Illinois Clinic is serving mostly Hispanics. And certainly Georgia is probably a mix of African-American and white. So we felt we had a real good mix. Two of the clinics are missing because they didn't get me the data. And the one we're really excited about what's going on in Pennsylvania, because it's run through the pharmacy school. So it really gave us a good variety of people who are directly working in the medical community, but certainly we think the pharmacy is going to be really interesting for us. So if you look at this sort of age-adjusted and you look at the states where we're going to be, all but Illinois is in the is over 9% for their rates of diabetes. So we clearly are in areas that have a great need. So, and this sort of looks at if we continue the way we're going, that we're going to have really reach a crisis for diabetes. So we really need to look upstream and address prediabetes. There's evidence-based, it's doable, it works along race and ethnicity, and we really just need to get it out as much as possible. So if any of you are interested in becoming diabetes prevention program providers, you can see us afterwards and we can work with you. So thank you so much, and thanks for the time. I look forward to any questions.